Let me get myself unmuted. Hello there. I like Kevin's presentation, and I know it's going to be in the minutes, but it would be nice to just have that section chopped out as a, maybe we put it on our fundraising page or something and just be there as a link we can point to. It's like, how could you help raise funds for KPFA?
I think that's an excellent idea. And we'll look at how to do that. I'll talk to Jose about it. Okay.
Thank you, Don. That is a wonderful suggestion.
Thank you. And there was a lot of information packed in there. I totally agree with you, Don. There's a lot there. Chris, you had a question?
Yeah. The chat function is actually proving to be very valuable today. Tim just said that transcriptions are generally available of these Zoom conferences, and that would be extremely helpful in the case of Kevin's presentation. We also had a request from the PMB secretary that Kevin's presentation be made available to the PMB, and I think that would be nice as well. So that was no questions, just two comments. Thanks.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Yeah, you said that the first cruise was sold out on August 22nd. Oh, what is the date of the second cruise? Because I'm going to be asking them about cruises when I'm on the air tomorrow.
Yes, that is the date of the second cruise is August 22nd. The date of the first cruise was July 10th.
And how will I know if it's sold out?
Because as soon as it's sold out, it's instantaneously removed from the premium list as an option for donors.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Philip. Do we have any other questions?
I don't see any hands up. Susan DeSilva.
Susan DeSilva.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think this year, by going through my contact list, in my email, I was able to find 7 people that I signed up as new members. Sometimes it's surprising how many people you know who aren't members and who could be. And the other thing is, if any of your friends ask you to donate to something of theirs, then ask them in turn to donate to KPFA.
Good idea. Thank you, Susan.
Indeed.
Go ahead, Kevin. Were you going to say something?
Indeed, that's a very good suggestion, yes. I think that does tie in with, it takes a donor to ask for donations. You've got to, put your money where your mouth is, basically. I think that's very important. Yes. Okay. And that reciprocal donation is part of the game. Yes.
Okay. So
I had done my hand up.
Thank you, Carol. Go ahead.
Okay. Kevin, one of the things I really like is when, I noticed, Quincy on his emails, and I think you do too, have I am a KPFA sustainer, join me or something. Could you talk a little bit about, how you do that and the importance of that? And can you send us a little thing to put on ours and do you add that onto your signature? How do you do that?
Yes, thank you, Carol. That's a good question. It is the signature field that you can fill out. I use Gmail, Google Mail, and there is an area that you can write your signature, and it is automatically at the bottom of every outgoing email. So I incorporate a KPFA logo, my name, my contact information, and then I do have, please join me as a sustaining member of KPFA. I believe that wording is pretty important too. Please join me. You know, we're in this together. Please join me as a sustaining member. Again, we want sustaining membership. That is the key. Not please make a donation to KPFA by clicking here. Please join me together as a sustaining member of KPFA. And that is an active link from that email that if you click that wording, that line, will take you directly to KPFA's donation page. So I can include that and the instructions to how to do that in the notes from this meeting that I will be sending out to members of the board. That's a good suggestion. Thank you.
Okay. Excellent.
Oh yeah. So, we might not use the logo. We might just, say KPFA local station board member.
Certainly as you see fit, you know, there's no protocol for how we, we do that.
Yeah.
Your personal voice is very important. It's like, I think, the show hosts when they're pitching live, you know, they each have their own, personality and that comes across very strongly. So I think it's important for, you to have your own personality in something like that. So that phrasing works for me and it's something that I feel comfortable with. However you see fit. But yes, I do think that the link back to the donation area directly is important.
Yeah. Good. Thank you.
Thank you. I think it's important.
Thank you.
Just a comment as the chair, just that it's, if you're a sustaining member, it's really important because it means that the, station can count on that particular amount in their budget to come in every month. So rather than a one-time gift, it's something that will sustain as a sustainer. They can count on it coming in to fund things if it's sustaining. Thank you. Tim?
Yes.
I just again wanted to thank Kevin for his support during the last fund drive, and the current fund drive is doing great work. Kevin, there's been some talk on this board of us creating a fundraising committee, and I just want to I presume that you will be able to you will want to work with us when we do that.
I'm open and willing to work with anyone, any way I can to help, make fundraising at KPFA a success.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I just wanted to comment and say, the bylaws say the KPFA local station board is responsible to assist the station with, fundraising. So it isn't so much, you know, that we would be, forming a committee to, a formal committee for that, but it would be more like, I think, building a relationship with Kevin. And Kevin, I hope you're able to come back and work with the whole board, not just a committee, but work with the whole board. And so that we can assist you rather than to, you know, go off on our own. And try and do things without, you know, there's issues about raising money and specific things that we need to be careful with. Thank you.
Indeed. Yes.
Any more questions for Kevin? Well, I want to thank Kevin very much. I don't see any hands up. So, thanks so much, Kevin. I mean, you're doing a great job. That cruise thing was very interesting and it sounds wonderful. It's just, go ahead.
Yes. I agree. That's a wonderful premium. It's a wonderful, it's going to be a wonderful experience for all involved. So, that's the power of, successful strategic partnerships that, you know, Liam has been, a great host on the show for, you know, a long while and to allow that opportunity for, donors to have that, you know, that personal relationship with someone like that is very extraordinary. It's very unique. And I think that those experiential, premiums are really where we're going to have a lot of success going forward. So thank you for that.
I appreciate it.
One last comment, the Zoom, KPFA author events have been, an important transition moving away from the live ones. I know I do get calls from people saying that they really miss the live author events. But in the meantime, I wonder if it would be helpful and important for the KPFA LSB members to be sharing information about those events, which people love. And I think that is a huge membership building avenue for us. So, is there any way that we can work with you in spreading information about the KPFA author events?
Certainly, Carol. Yes, you in a previous conversation mentioned something along those lines of that being a potential a perk for sustaining donors over a certain level that they might have free access to that archive. This is still those archives are a major source of donation revenue for us. For example, the spring archives comprised of 8 events And that's a $150 donation to have access to those, or a $50 donation to access each individual event. So they are still, again, a great source of revenue. But I loved your idea of things like that as a premium. And as we go back into the real world, having in-person events, live events, I think we'll always have a hybrid model. So we could have these events videoed and archived. And I think a very simple thing would be, have, you know, bring a guest for free. A sustaining member could always have a plus one at our events. That way we wouldn't run the potential risk of having an auditorium, basically full for free, with sustaining members. So, again, as a way of involving more people in the mix. So, it was a great suggestion, earlier, Carol, and I think that there's a really wonderful way that we can, utilize that. KPFA's, Pacifica's archives are a great, strength for us. There's just incredible programming and, it behooves us to, capitalize them, utilize them in the best way possible going forward. So, yes, I'm always welcome to more ideas along those lines. And yours was a good one. Thank you.
Thank you. As the chair, I have a quick question, but, I just want to let the public know that this is not the time for public comments or questions. There will be a time for that, but I will ask a question that I'm curious about. It would be good to ask it. And, Kevin, how's the relationship with union members, around fundraising? Maybe you could speak to that.
I have not encountered anything one way or the other with union members. I believe that we have a strong relationship with the union. I can't speak any further on that.
Well, I'll just say as a former representative of CWA that we've always had a very good relationship with KPFA and been very supportive. In fact, at our union meetings, we used to ask people during our membership meetings if they would please support KPFA and donate to KPFA. Also, we've gone before the Alameda Central Labor Council, and I used to be a delegate too, and we would ask the council to rep, to all the different SEIU to IUE to please give money to KPFA. So that's my personal experience with the union relationship. And of course, Philip, who was a union rep for years, could speak to that. Would you just briefly speak to that, Philip?
You caught me with my mouth full. Eating pizza here. Yes, and I've also gone to meetings of the Central Labor Council in San Francisco and represented KPFA there. I think it might be behoove some people who are union members in the city to actually do that more frequently. I just did it once. But again, a good many people at that meeting were well aware of KPFA.
Great. Thank you very much, Philip. And Donald, you had your hand up.
Yeah, I want to circle back to the what used to be live public events that are now Zoom events for the moment. All of those past events were recorded on both audio and video.
Donald, I'll stop you just for a second. You're too close to your mic or something.
Oh, okay. There's a lot of noise. Sorry. How's that? Is that better?
It's a little bit farther, but go ahead.
Yeah, the point is that all of the previous public events that Bob Balduck has so brilliantly orchestrated over the years, all of those were recorded on CD and DVDs, which means there are video libraries of all of those events. Is it not possible to monetize those past speaker events, Kevin, through the website, and, you know, where people can purchase a link for a dollar or whatever and view them through either our YouTube channel or a separate channel that we could set up?
Certainly, and we are utilizing those, as our giveaway premium, our thank you gift to donors of any level are from a Bob Balduck event with Angela Davis from 2015 and an earlier event from 2002 with the poet laureate of California, Al Young. So we do utilize those archives regularly. We have, I think there's a thumb drive of 1500 hours from the Pacifica archives of events. So yes, and I think that as Quincy addressed in his earlier report, that the Area 941 our podcast area will also be a very wonderful avenue to be able to, I hate to say monetize, but to utilize those recordings in the best way possible for fundraising efforts. So yes,
but you're not quite responding to what I'm suggesting. You're using these events as premiums. What I'm suggesting is we have a huge library of these events, of video recordings, mm-hmm. of all of them, and they could be available mm-hmm. on a regular basis to all of our listeners and the wider public to license, you know, to view. And it's sort of a pay-per-view mechanism whereby mm-hmm. anybody could rent it for, you know, $1, $2, whatever makes the best sense. And I'm speaking as a filmmaker now and how we've been able to monetize some of our films in that way. So it's a suggestion that I'm making to you and Quincy, which I can discuss with you guys further about how to do that.
Yeah, Donald. Thank you. That is a good suggestion. I hear what you're saying. And, yes, that is not something that is currently being done, but I do think that there is a path to success there. So, that is a good suggestion and I would love to follow up with you about that later.
Thank you, Donald.
Thanks.
And now Frank has a question. Frank?
Sorry, as I'm muting, I am traveling mode now. My question is, I've been a big proponent this whole time about streaming events, and I was very excited, although not in a great way, that the pandemic had brought on streaming to KPFA. Is there a way to continue streaming events and also like monetize that by selling a virtual ticket to the event? I just think it not only opens it up to people that may just not want to go for a live event, you're limited to people in the surrounding area that are willing to travel to that theater, that building. And of course you could sell out or max out. You know, what's your thoughts on streaming events live and charging for a virtual ticket?
I think that's, it's a natural evolution, for what we've been able to do during the pandemic. I used the term a hybrid event series before in a previous answer, and that's exactly what you're talking about, that we would have a live event and then also be able to stream it or have that the video of that event be available after the fact. So I think that's one of the positives that will come out of the COVID situation that we've all had to do. I think that is a strong thing that we can take out of this and build on going forward. So yes.
Okay. Are there any more questions for Kevin? I don't see any more questions. I'll ask Jose to make sure that I'm not.
Yeah,
missing.
I don't see any hands up.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for a very informative training, Kevin. I learned a lot and I've been around for a long time. I'm not going to say how long, but it's been quite a while. It was nice to learn.
It's very kind of you, Reed Vendor.
It's like, it was actually nice to hear about the creative stuff that you're doing. So thank you for being, it's exciting because we need money to survive. We have to keep the lights on and the rent paid. So that's great. Thanks very much. And,
thank you. And thank you all for your time.
Okay. You take care. Be well. So I guess we'll.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I guess we'll move on to the next part of the agenda, which would be the treasurer's report from Sharon. So Sharon, do you have a report to provide us with?
Yes. And I will attempt to share my screen. Jose, you might have to help me during this presentation. So yeah, I haven't done that before. So, well, no, I think I did, but let me see if I can do it this time. But anyway, enough intro. Yes, the treasurer's report. Okay, so at my last treasurer's report, at our last LSB meeting, I had reported that the KPFA budget would be reviewed by the National Finance Committee, and that did happen. And the NFC did approve our budget and forwarded it to the PMB. So that's the status of several of the stations at this point. At the last NFC meeting, which we just had last Tuesday, we reviewed KPFT's budget out of Texas, and the NFC approved that one. So that one has been forwarded to the PNB also. the KPFA, KPFT, and WPFW budgets all show a balanced budget. The WBAI budget, which I've mentioned before, has shows that it expects to lose over $100,000 this year. The KPFK budget has not yet been reviewed by the National Finance Committee. As most of you may know, there are huge financial issues at KPFA, and Pacifica's management has forced KPFK to let go some of its best fundraisers right before its current fund drive. I just want to read something that KPFA's treasurer stated. KPFK's treasurer stated on April 8th, 2021, and he said that he considered it to be financial suicide to lay off their best fundraisers and that it will only speed the collapse of KPFK and cause the layoff of its entire staff. So I will attempt to share my screen now. Let's see if I do it like this. Share. Yeah. Okay. So this is a graph that was derived from figures from the audit, from the audited figures, and it shows, I'm sorry, I'm having like a little difficulty seeing my own screen here. Yeah, so it shows, you know, the orange is WBAI and the blue is KPFK. So it does show, you know, the $7,931,000 of debt that has been accrued by WBAI. And of course, KPFK is in a current crisis, and that's why it does show blue there of $585,000 of debt. So I just wanted to put this up there because there is a lot of stuff going on at KPFK right now, and I just wanted to have this as a bit of reality of the finances. Let's see. We did not go over the financials at the last NFC meeting. So I'm presuming the reason is because NETA, our HR and accounting firm, had been putting most of its time into finalizing the audit. So that was due on April 30th, and that has been the fiscal year 2019 audit has been completed and submitted to the California Attorney General as they required. Okay, I'm going to now talk about this email that we all received, I think most of us received from Pacifica, from the executive director, which was called the Good News email, and has this information about KPFA station. So I wanted to talk about the property tax issue, because that is something, of course, that's very concerning to people at KPFA. First, it says that right here, it says that KPFA, in bold, it says KPFA had accumulated a debt for unpaid property taxes. That's not true. The debt was accumulated by Pacifica, and it is only thanks to the efforts of KPFA's business manager that the KPFA building was not sold. The Alameda County tax assessor has been in direct contact with Maria Negrete, our business manager, on this issue. And the tax assessor has worked out with Maria to hold off on the auction. Apparently, the tax assessor called the executive director of Pacifica, but she did not return his call. So it is quite clear that KPFA has taken the steps needed to prevent KPFA's building from being sold. And to repeat, KPFA did not accumulate the property debt, the property tax debt. Pacifica management accumulated this debt by failing to properly secure and protect the Pacifica Foundation corporate name with the California Secretary of State. That's how this whole thing started, was they failed to file the proper documents with the California Secretary of State, and therefore they lost the Pacifica Foundation name. And then that caused issues with KPFA's tax exemption, its property tax exemption. So it would have been a simple matter to take care of this issue more than 4 years ago in 2017. In 2017, KPFA's business manager and I also personally sent emails to Pacifica's management about this issue. And this issue could have been resolved by a membership vote at any of the elections that Pacifica has had since 2017. That has not happened. And there would have been essentially no cost to amending the bylaws and articles of incorporation through a membership vote. Instead, Pacifica management ignored this issue until the Alameda County tax assessor threatened to sell KPFA's studio building. And then, you know, people started paying attention, I guess. Pacifica management has, however, this is what, over a year ago that this property tax issue arose. I think it was actually in 2019, and the threat to sell the building. And since then, Pacifica's management has continued to delay on this issue, forcing KPFA to pay the attorney's fees for two law firms, as well as Pacifica's general counsel, to attempt to resolve this issue. And KPFA has paid more than $75,000 in attorney's fees to these various attorney law firms and to Pacifica's general counsel in an attempt to resolve this issue, which is still not resolved. Well, that takes us to another error in the Pacifica Good News email, the statement that Pacifica, also in bold, that Pacifica's specialized law firm has filed a writ of mandate to resolve this property tax issue. Well, as of the date of this email, April 16th, 2021, the writ of mandate had not been filed, which Pacifica management clearly would have known and certainly would have known by the time they sent the second email dated April 20th, 2021. Let's see. I won't go into a lot of legal details, but I will show this, which is the first attempt that they attempted to file a document with the court. And you can see that there's no case number and it was not filed. And then finally on May 7th, the writ was filed. You can see it has a case number, and at the top it has electronically filed by the Superior Court of California. So when they wrote the email saying, oh yes, the writ has been filed, it had not been filed. I mean, maybe that's minor to people, but you know, could we just have some truth and transparency on this very important issue? This was not a filed document. It was not accepted by the clerk. No judge ever saw this document. Okay, they did finally file, as I said, on May 7th, a document. And here's some of what it says. It says that the writ states that it would have cost approximately $60,000 to have an election to resolve this issue. Well, as I just said, KPFA has paid more than $75,000 in legal fees and it's still not resolved. So obviously an election would have been cheaper. And the writ also says, it specifically says here at the top, I hope you can see that the articles do not provide a procedure for amendment. These are the articles of incorporation. That's true. The articles do not have a procedure for amendment, but the bylaws clearly do have a procedure for amending the articles of incorporation. Just because I know people love to question and doubt things, I copied the bylaw provision that states that. And here it is. First, this is bylaws, Article 17, proposing amendments. And this is amendments to the articles of incorporation. And then you can see right here, they can be improved where it's blocked out by a 2/3 vote of the members, providing that a quorum of members has been established by written ballot. The writ again makes a misstatement that going back up here, the writ says that a quorum is $20,000, maybe 20,000 members. Maybe I didn't put that in here. But anyway, that's not true. And there's nowhere in the bylaws that says you need 20,000 members to have a quorum to have a vote on these issues. And in fact, we know that because we voted on the bylaws in the past. So anyway, going back to the Pacifica Good News email, yes, it's true that resolving this issue will definitely save KPFA a lot of money and Pacifica as a whole. It will definitely save KPFA a lot of money to not have to pay commercial property tax rates as a nonprofit. And again, just to talk about this issue a bit more, thanks to our business manager, Maria Negrette, she has been trying to solve this issue. And this shows the amount of money that has been saved and what we should pay. So where it says totals, okay, you see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and then it says totals. Well, that's the amount, 434,000, and then the complete total is 539,000. That's the total that we would have had to pay without the exemption. And then right underneath it is the totals with the exemption, so you can see quite a significant difference. And then the saving is obviously over $500,000 total savings in the property tax. That is why it is so important to get this issue resolved, because KPFA and Pacifica will have to pay that $500,000 if it's not resolved. And the final point on this is that if Maria had gone ahead and just started paying the property taxes at these higher amounts, like the $65,000 that you see up there, we would not have been able to get that money back. It's only because we have not paid that we can resolve this and finally get to qualify for the reduced amount. So again, just want to say thank you to Maria for being on top of this and for really taking care of Pacifica's finances on this. The good news email, just going back up here to it, just so you can all see it, also talks about the audit and, you know, comments by the auditor that were incorporated into this email. This email was written before the audits were finalized. So we've already talked about where the audits can be found at pacifica.org, but just to explain a little bit of what was said, the actual auditor's report is not quite as rosy as stated in this good news email. The audit specifically states that it is the auditor's responsibility to express an opinion on the financial statements. However, because Pacifica has failed to provide appropriate financial information to allow auditors to express an opinion, in particular, the audit report stated that Pacifica has two pension plans for people that are worried about the union. Pacifica has two pension plans for its union members, both of which are delinquent as of the date of the auditor's report, April 29, 2021. So the auditor had no information, absolutely zero information about pension accruals, penalties, and fines that have accumulated. Because they have this lack of information, in addition, the auditor stated that they had, quote, substantial doubt about the organization's ability to continue as a going concern. So that is the auditor's opinion of Pacifica, that there is substantial doubt about the organization's ability to continue as a going concern, and that the Pacifica, quote, has suffered recurring losses from operations and has a net deficit that raises substantial doubt about its ability to continue as a going concern, end quote. In fact, it's pretty clear that without the PPP money that we have received, Pacifica received over $2 million in PPP money. Without this money, Pacifica would likely already be selling off assets because, as we all know, and it has been documented and proven many, many times, it's always been the plan of Pacifica management to sell assets to pay off the $3.2 million debt that was incurred due to the Empire State Realty Trust lease for WBAI. And that concludes my report. So we can stop the share. Yeah, stop sharing. Okay.
Hey, that's it. Thank you very much for a very thorough report, Sharon. Whoever is not muting themselves, mute themselves, please. It's very disruptive. I wanted to just state that I actually did call the tax assessor personally, and he informed me that it was he who stopped the sale of the building along with Maria. It was not, has been misrepresented, some negotiation between any other entity. And also I was shocked because when I saw the new mortgage news from Pacifica, because The good news of August 2020 was signed by Lydia Brisson and many other members of the board, stated that it was Pacifica's responsibility. They said it was a clerical error or something, but they took full responsibility for the tax situation and then turned around in the new one and threw it back on KPFA. And last, I would say that Maria has sent over 40 emails, and we have them saved to the PNB and to the officers of the PNB and to the IED since the problem first occurred. So we have a paper trail to prove that she was actually trying to fix the situation. She was paying close attention to it and didn't want to pay the higher rate, which would have been extensively higher, as was just demonstrated by Sharon. And to one last thing to Dawn, we're compiling a graph of all five stations to your request. So, and we'll take questions now. Chris was first. Chris, are you there?
Yeah, sorry. I was having trouble with the mute button.
Okay.
I want to thank Sharon for doing yeoman's work as treasurer. She's very thorough, very on top of it, and I really appreciate her work. It relieves me of a great deal of questions and responsibilities that I would otherwise have, both as a presenter and just as an information gatherer. So thank you, Sharon. As Sharon mentioned, five of the seven budgets have been passed through the NFC at this point and have been passed by the PNB, actually. So we only have two remaining ones, the National Office and KPFK. There's actually a delicate interplay between those two budgets in that the National Office budget will determine the central services formula, which has been preliminarily passed just to get it more up to date recently, but will probably be under revision after the demands of the National Office are better known. And the KPFK budget, of course, which has reached impasse in Los Angeles and has actually been handed off to the NFC at this juncture. The NFC hasn't actually intervened or met over this particular subject, but I believe that it is the central focus of our next meeting. So just to be clear, so that everybody understands what that means, basically the NFC is going to take over the KPFK budget. That's the idea anyway. I just wanted to bolster Sharon's point about NEDA being busy and therefore kind of slow on the financials right now. They are slow on the financials right now. They're a month or two behind because they have been extremely busy trying to get our audits up to date. There is actually their latest commitment has them to be on time with the audits, which would open us up for CPB funding again, open up the possibility that we obtain CPB funding again. There's a number of other things that have to be done in order to make that happen, but that is their highest priority. Basically, the PNB and myself, as well are encouraging them to put all of their focus into whatever is necessary in order to expedite the budgets or the audits and get them out on time. So that's the current, shape and size of things at the financial level with Pacifica and with the National Finance Committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. And I want to thank Chris also for all the hard work he does for us. And for the Pacifica Foundation, he puts in so many hours for preparation and support for his work on the National Finance Committee, for our board. And I want you to know I very much appreciate it, and I'm sure our whole board appreciates it, Chris.
Thank you very much, Christina. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I had a question for Chris about the pensions. Can you explain to us where we are with the pensions right now? Is Pacifica still delinquent? Have they canceled pensions that are part of contracts? Can you talk at all about that?
I can talk about it slightly, but pensions is actually a subcommittee, and the NFC hasn't dealt with them directly. So I don't have a very good feel for what's going on. So I'm going to present what I believe to be my understanding of what's going on. And I will follow up on it with, I think Anita would be quite aware. So I'll follow up with Anita and give you a more fulsome reply when she gets back to me. But My understanding is that one of the pensions has been basically shut down at this point. It was an older one that had very few inductees, and there was some settlements associated with with that plan. The other one, I believe, is still an open question right now, but I believe that it's been fulfilled at this juncture. In other words, it's been brought up to date financially. I can once again look into that and verify that as well. But I know that the pensions, which was like a burning dumpster fire a couple years ago, as far as issues is concerned, has simmered down a lot recently. So I'm assuming that it's under control at this juncture, but I will, as I say, follow up and verify that.
Yeah, it's really confusing in the audits.
Thank you. It is confusing in the audits. Yes, I noticed that as well. Quite confusing in the audits. So yeah, I'll follow it up for you, Carol, and you can report out on it to whoever you like. Once I get that information, I'll make sure that it's publicly admissible.
Thank you. Just for a clarification for people to understand the two different pensions, having been knowing the union contract information quite well, I can explain that there were the two pensions were, but there was not a redundant pension, depending upon your perception of that. There was one pension that is in the KPFA contract that was a traditional pension, which is different from a 401b pension. A traditional pension is just something that contributed to by the employer. The other pension, which is a 401b, is an employee contributed pension. So they would contribute to that kind of a pension and it would get matched by the employer. I think it was 2%. So they're very different basis for a pension, which is why they can't take the 401b pension money and deposit it that's left over to make people whole into the 401a pension. That's not feasible. It's not legal. So they have to figure some other way to fund that pension. And there is a National Labor Relations Board complaint that has been levied against the Pacifica Foundation for unilaterally canceling their traditional pension in the middle of bargaining. Just for clarification, that's illegal. It's against the National Labor Relations Act. So I'll move on from there. Donald Goldmacher.
Point of order. It is 12:47. Time for our time certain break.
Right. We have 1 o'clock time certain. Go ahead, Donald.
Are you there? Yeah, I'm here. First of all, thank you so much, Sharon, for your illuminating treasurer's reports. Your expertise in both the law and numbers is a blessing to this station and to Pacifica. And I wish that you could stay on the board beyond your two terms, because nobody can excel with what you've been doing for us in illuminating.
She can volunteer.
There you go. Volunteers of America.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you all.
Okay. Now that I'm done with that part, I have a few questions for Sharon. When you said the three stations are showing themselves in the black, is that because of the PPP money or is that because they've actually concluded successful fund drives? It's been my understanding that we're the only station that has successful fund drives in this network. So that's question number one. Question number two has to do with those people who continue to serve on the Pacifica National Board, and I noticed there are several of them in this today's Zoom, visiting us from New York and the Los Angeles station, two of the stations that are drowning us. And they've both been on the Pacifica National Board when this misfeasance and malfeasance have occurred. So I think it's important for people at KPFA to know that these folks, even though they can't take care of their own stations, somehow managed to find the time to listen into our local station board meeting. So the third thing is, what are they planning to do, if anything, with the loan that they can't repay? Is there a plan? Is there some sort of strategic plan for how to fix that? And number four is, I want to know how our PNB members voted on this issue of firing senior management at the Los Angeles station, ultimately forcing out the general manager there. I want to know how each of you voted on that. Thank you.
Okay, well, I don't think I actually, to try to take your questions in order, I don't think I said three stations are in the black. I may have said that three stations have had their budgets approved. And I think I may have said that three stations, I do believe, I don't have it all in front of me. So, but I don't think I said that. And then as far as the plan on the loan, I have not seen any plan. I've just seen that it was refinanced for 18 months and I have not actually ever seen any plan to pay anything off except, as I've said, the statements that have been made about selling assets. And those statements, I just want to repeat for clarity, have been made by management and not by people at KPFA.
And you said refinance. That's not correct. It was extended for 18 months, correct?
Okay, you're right. Extended.
Refinance would mean they got a whole new financial deal and they don't.
Right. So basically we're just paying interest for another 18 months. We're not making any payments on the principal as far as I can tell. So basically the lender is just getting another 18 months of interest and there still is no plan for how to actually repay the loan, except that they did pass something at the NFC that bequests 50% of bequests will go towards the principal on the loan. So when things like that come in, there may be a slight, payments made towards the principal of the loan, but there's no realistic plan for paying off the loan.
Thank you.
I believe that payment goes towards the interest, Sharon, but I'd have to reread the.
Oh, maybe that's true.
Yeah.
I thought it went to principal, but I don't know. 50%. But I just think we should potentially take our, I know people have questions. Maybe we can hold them because we do need to get to our time certain for the public comment and the other things.
Tom is next. Tom,
Point of order, we have a time certain break that was scheduled for 12:45 and we begin our time certain public comments at 1. So if people do want to take a break, we need to stop now, I believe.
I'd like to get Tom and Don hasn't had an opportunity to ask any questions just about
I can stay on. I'm okay with that.
More minutes.
Maybe people can take breaks and come back or something.
Yeah, I would suggest that if people want to take a break, you could do it now and we'll come back. Time certain for public comments at 1.
Okay, so Tom.
Yes, I don't want to get into any details here, but I just want to record an objection or a objection to Sharon's report in relation to the KPFA tax situation. My perspective from the PNB, which I am on, is completely different than the way Sharon presented it, and I just like that to be recorded in the minutes. I'm not going to get into any details, considering the time situation at this moment, but I would like my objection, to that portion of her report to be recorded in the minutes. Thank you.
What's the basis of your objection?
I object to having his objection there because he's not making anything specific. He's just making general allegations. And if Tom cannot state specifically what he thinks is wrong, then it is not appropriate to make an objection to my report. Tom, you're free to state anything you want. I have asked you for questions and information, but you are unable to provide it often. So please do let me know what you object about my report. I want to hear it in detail.
He wants specifics. I agree. I think I want to let Don ask his questions. I'll just say, as someone famously said before, you're entitled to your opinion, but your own opinion, but you're not entitled to your own facts. Go ahead, Don.
Don, you mean Don, me?
Yeah, Don.
Hi, how you doing? Thank you. I'd like to thank Chris and Sharon both for their presentations. And Sharon, I like the graphs. You know, I like graphs. And I like it when you extract information and make it easier for the rest of us to understand. I really appreciate that. And I guess I would like to see more of that from within our board and also, you know, relating to KPFA and its, you know, financial history and going back over a few years and stuff like that, along with, you know, what's our membership size, et cetera, et cetera. And I'd also like to see something written from the national board, like a report to all the local boards. I mean, this is like the key information we need to have to make decisions. And it would be nice if that was distilled in kind of a you know, basic points. We don't need to read the entire audit, and I don't know if I can read the entire audit, right? But, you know, so that's a request of mine. The other thing is, you know, obviously there's more than one version of events and facts and analysis of our budget from the group you're with, Sharon, and then somewhere with the national group. So maybe we need to actually have this on a meeting or something where we get the points in contention laid out, preferably in a civil manner, where we as a board could sit there and listen to what it is that, you know, we're hearing very different versions of what happened, especially around, you know, the KPFA budget and the property tax thing. I mean, people seem to have different facts, and around the, you know, the antenna fiasco and the budget at WBAI and the overall budget. You know, I would like to hear it, like I said, in a civil manner from, is it two sides or two versions? But definitely there's a majority to the national board, and then we have a majority on our board, and I'm not hearing the same thing. So that's all I have to say. Well,
thank you very much.
I really appreciate that question, Don. I just will repeat what Christina said. There cannot be more than one version of the facts. And
when you were talking, people were throwing things into the chat and contesting things that you said, and other people were contesting things that other people said, and I think there is a disagreement on what the facts actually are.
I couldn't read the chat while I was doing it, so I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm happy. You didn't miss anything. It was mostly you.
But I just want to say, and I appreciate your question, and I think we should talk about that. And I will say, you know, it was based on what you said that I try to provide more information, and I have asked our PNB members, all of them, to provide us with information about the votes that they take at the PNB meetings, and they have not done that to us. I mean, we have four directors and they meet like at least once a week and they pass motions and they never let us know. I think it would be helpful if our PNB members would report to us after every meeting what motions were passed. I mean, that's just part of what creates this like very nebulous thing where a lot of times, like when Chris said that the PNB had passed those budgets, I didn't know that had happened. So it would be nice to get actual information for what's happening at the national level, so that we could understand, you know, what is happening with Pacifica. And as far as my facts, I am willing to just go to the mat on them. I am 100% accurate on my facts. I can talk to you about them. I know we've tried to set up a time to talk, and maybe we should try again.
You know, I would be happy to join you in if we want to actually make a request of the national board, say we would like a report on X, Y, Z thing. Exactly. I'm all for that, and I especially would like that kind of big picture report, not the play-by-play of what they do at every meeting every week, but, you know, what exactly is the big picture? Their breakdown of it, you know, where they think the money is, how they think we're doing, how it looks station by station. They're the national board. They should let us know where we stand as a station and where we stand within the foundation as a whole.
I think that's a great idea.
You know, I agree. I'm sorry, Christina. I agree. I'm just looking in chat. You know, it's like, oh, we have recordings. We have minutes. And that's the point. Nobody wants to listen to a 4-hour recording of a PNB meeting. Okay. That's why we have representatives. All we're asking is that if motions are passed, and I think Don and I agree on this, just like I just try to do, I give you a summary of what happened at the NFC meeting. I don't go through all the details. I try to give the big picture. That would be helpful to me as an LSB member if our PNB members would do that for us. I mean, I know maybe it's a lot with all that they're doing on the PNB, but I would find it very helpful.
Thank you. I would ask that, Darlene, are you there? If you're there, she may be taking a break. Carol, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I want to turn over the chair to you just for a moment so I can take a brief break. So, and we're time certain at 1 p.m., so I'm turning it over to Carol briefly, and I'll be back in just a sec. So if you want to start at 1 p.m. with the next order of the agenda, which is the PNB reports.
Public comments, I will. Thank you.
I'm certain. Thank you.
Thank you. And Sharon, can you stay on?
Yeah.
Sharon, you'll stay on.
Mm-hmm. Chris has his hand up, so maybe we want to ask Chris. Oh, I think we have 1 minute, Chris. So if you want to say something.
Yeah. Go ahead, Chris.
I made my comment in the chat, but I'll just briefly, I've kind of lost track of the discussion at this point. I'd have to scroll back through and find it.
Okay. So thank you, Chris. I'm going to open things up for public comments. And I would like to invite, members, who are listening, who are on this call. If you would like to make a public comment, please raise your hand. Our meeting administrators will be putting together a stack. So raise your hand. If you're on a telephone, hit *9. If you would like to make a public comment. And if you would like to make a public comment, Jose, did you want to say anything more? And he will take our meeting administrator. Jose will begin forming a list for public comments. I believe we said 1 minute each for public comments. Is that accurate, Sharon?
Yes, I believe that's what we said. I can do that time.
Okay.
And I do think Zoom changed the raising hand.
Yeah, it did.
So if you just hover over the screen, you should see the options on the bottom. The raise hand function is now under reactions. So if you click on reactions, you should see the option to raise your hand.
Yes. And on my screen, it's also under participants, at the very bottom on the right. So there may be different ways to raise your hands. Jose, can you tell us how many? I'm not seeing any hands raised.
Yeah, no, I definitely see there's about four hands raised right now. Right. The first one being Carlos Cohen. Yeah.
And I just want to reiterate, we do not have, the chat is reserved for a KPFA local station board members only. That's part of our agreements that we read at the beginning of all our meetings. And that is our agreement for people to participate. People can be removed. If you're not willing to participate in our agreements, now is the time for those of you who have things that you want to say to raise your hand and start. So, Jose.
Carol, this is Chris Corey. I remembered my comment. It'll only take about 15 seconds. Is it okay if I interject for a moment?
Yes, go ahead and then we'll start public comment.
Okay, thanks. I just wanted to reiterate what I was trying to say in the chat, and that's that the budgets that have been passed by the NFC have been the ones that Sharon mentioned for PFW, KPFA, and actually PRA as well. And I already got WPFW. I guess KPFT, most of the budgets that have gone through the NFC, with the exception, I believe, of WBAI, have been balanced budgets. I just wanted to mention that.
Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome. And that excludes PPP funds. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Okay, Jose, did you want to give me the first name?
Yes, it is Carlos Cohen, but I also want to just let people know that for those that are joining on the phone, to raise your hand, you can press *9 and we'll put you on stack.
Go ahead, Carlos.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, well, we only have 1 minute, right? Not two?
How many people do we have? Jose, you said we only had four?
We have five at this point.
Five, okay. Actually, Sharon, yeah. Should we change it to 2 minutes?
Okay.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just want, this is Sherry Gentleman, and I want to know if I was able to raise my hand or not.
We'll put you on the list, Sherry. Do you have it, Jose?
I'll put her on.
Okay. Go ahead, Carlos, for 2 minutes, please.
Okay. Thank you.